coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Before we start reading any book, it is convenient and useful to know something about the author, the style of his writing, the main features of the content, and what the author desires to achieve. So let us start with the author. The book is commonly known as the Gospel according to St. Mark. There is no direct evidence of authorship in the book itself, since the name of the writer is not mentioned. However, it was the unanimous testimony of the early Christian church that this gospel was written by John Mark. He was not a close follower of Jesus during his ministry, and neither was he an apostle. He was a dear associate of the apostle Peter, and he probably came to the Christian faith through the preaching of Peter. John Mark was a Jew by birth, and his mother was called Mary. Mary had a house in Jerusalem, which she offered as a meeting place for Christian believers. John Mark became a companion of Paul on missionary journeys, learning from the apostle and working together with him. It is believed that John Mark wrote the Gospel in Rome between the years 50 and 60 AD. Many scholars assume that this Gospel was written before the other three Gospels and served as a basis for the writings of Matthew and Luke. Tradition reports that John Mark died as a martyr in Egypt in the year 67 AD. Although not explicitly mentioned in the book, the Gospel according to St. Mark must have been originally addressed to the church in Rome, or at least to Gentile, non-Jewish readers. Why? Because John Mark does not mention Jesus' genealogy, an aspect which would be of no interest to Romans. Furthermore, John Mark explains the meaning of the Hebrew words like Talita Kumi, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The author also uses frequently Latin expressions like legion and centurion, which were familiar to Roman readers. The main purpose of John Mark in writing the Gospel is to proclaim Jesus the Son of God, who calls disciples to repent, to believe the gospel, and to bear the cross. Since the readers were Romans, John Mark introduces Jesus Christ as the Almighty King, the victor over death, and the Lord of life. Jesus is pictured as a character of action, who does powerful deeds and performs signs and wonders. All these characteristics apply to Jesus Christ, and would have been of special interest to the Romans, who loved men of action and power. Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. Nearly all of its content is also found in Matthew or Luke, or in both. But it is only Mark who recorded the parable of the growing seed, the healing of a deaf and mute man, and the healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. Mark usually gives more details of the stories which are told in Matthew and Luke. Mark reports nothing about Jesus' birth and childhood. Jesus is introduced as an adult man who goes to John the Baptist and asks to be baptized. More than one-third of the Gospel according to Mark concentrates on the last week of Jesus spent in Jerusalem and its neighborhood. The Gospel is simple, succinct, and unadorned, yet a vivid account of Jesus' ministry, emphasizing more what Jesus did than what Jesus said. Mark moves quickly from one episode in Jesus' life and ministry to another. The book as a whole is characterized as the beginning of the gospel. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ comprise the beginning, of which the apostolic preaching in Acts is the continuation. As you read and study the gospel, take a special note of the emphasis on discipleship and faith. Jesus tells his followers that he will suffer and will ransom them. They, too, will face suffering on account of him and the gospel. Yet, through repentance and faith, they will inherit eternal life. Let us then read and reflect on the text of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Mark opens his account saying that this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning. This resembles the opening verse of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, which tells about the beginning of heaven and earth. Mark is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good story or good news. We are afraid of bad news, but we love good news, don't we? Here, the word gospel is used in two senses. First, the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel about forgiveness and new life through the Messiah. And second, as an extended account of Jesus' teaching and healing ministry, his crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. Sometimes gospel is used to mean the entire doctrine of Christ, our Lord. This includes the explanation of the law and the proclamation of the favor and grace of God, his heavenly Father. The good news is of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. News about people or events come and go, but the good news of Jesus Christ remains forever, always up to date, always necessary and profitable. This Jesus Christ is not merely a man, but he is the Son of God, true God himself. Before bringing on stage the main character of the narrative, Jesus Christ, the evangelist Mark introduces John the Baptist and speaks briefly about his important job. Similarly to Jesus, John the Baptist had been prophesied in the Old Testament. Through the prophet Isaiah, God announced the arrival of John the Baptist, speaking of him as my messenger. So John the Baptist was God's ambassador, a man sent by God, endowed with a special mission of preparing the way of the Lord, that is, preparing people for the arrival and ministry of Jesus Christ. For this reason, John the Baptist is known as the forerunner of Christ. Now came the time of the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. John the Baptist is there. He is the preacher of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was to accuse all and convict them of being sinners. This is so that they can know what they are before God and acknowledge that they are lost. So they will be prepared for the Lord to receive grace and to expect and accept from him the forgiveness of sins. The message of John applies to us too. We need to hear God's law to unveil our sins and to lead us to the acknowledgement that we are lost. At the same time as we repent, we need to hear the good news of Jesus' love and forgiveness. The evangelist Mark speaks then about the work and message of John the Baptist. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The name John means "the Lord is gracious." John appeared in the wilderness. Prophets and their activity are frequently set in the desert region. We would expect the messenger of God to go to cities and towns where a large concentration of people can be found. With John the Baptist, however, God had other plans. He sent him to the wilderness, the arid region west of the Dead Sea, where the river Jordan empties into the Dead Sea. John's ministry included preaching and baptizing. Before being baptized, the people were expected to repent. By repentance is meant turning from sin to righteousness, a complete change of mind and heart. John's baptism granted forgiveness, removing the guilt of sin. Christian baptism, which Jesus instituted, delivers the same blessings, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. John drew a large number of people to the wilderness where he worked. For centuries, Israel had had no prophet, and now John appeared. He was a successful preacher in the sense that a significant number of people went to him. People confessed their sins, acknowledged their need for forgiveness, and believed that God provided it through baptism. As far as clothing and diet are concerned, John the Baptist appears to be unique. He was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Other prophets like Elijah dressed in a similar way. These foods functioned as enacted prophecies against the prevailing worldliness and excessive concern for comfort, things very common in our days. John's purpose was not drawing people's attention on himself, but pointed to the coming Messiah, more powerful than he. John was conscious of his role and felt very humble in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He felt unworthy even to tying and untying the master's shoes, which was among the lowliest tasks performed by slaves. Thus, John cast himself as a humble servant of the coming Messiah. John baptized with water. That's what he was supposed to do and could do. As a human being, John could not give any divine power to baptism. It was not in his ability to grant the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of sins when he baptized. This power and these gifts can be granted only by God. So John remarks that Jesus will baptize those who repent with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptized his disciples with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and continues to pour out the Spirit on believers through the gospel and the sacrament of holy baptism. All of us who are baptized have received the promised Holy Spirit, who continually forgives us, restores us, and keeps us in the faith. Now the evangelist Mark leaves John the Baptist and turns to Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11 tell us about Jesus' baptism in the following words. The baptism of Jesus. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." It is not clear how long John preached before Jesus came to him to be baptized, but it was long enough to have gathered some disciples. The focus now shifts from John's ministry to that of Jesus. Jesus left Nazareth, where he spent his teens and youth, and moved to Galilee. The entering step to his public ministry would be baptism. Jesus sought John to baptize him in the river Jordan. If John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and if Jesus was sinless Son of God, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized not for his sake or a personal need. When Jesus asked John to be baptized, he was our substitute. He became a sinner for us, taking upon himself the sins which he had not committed, and wiping them out and drowning them in his holy baptism. He affirmed his identity with sinners and provided them with perfect righteousness. On the occasion of Jesus' baptism, we see one of the finest and clearest manifestations of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon him and anointed him for the ministry, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. The Father's voice confirmed the Son and the work he would do. Jesus is declared the Son of God by the Father himself. Following his baptism, Jesus was driven into the wilderness and was tempted. This is the narrative of Mark in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The temptation of Jesus. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Compared to the evangelist Matthew and Luke, Mark is very brief in his account on Jesus' temptation. Immediately after being revealed as God's Son, Jesus' archenemy, Satan, begins to assault him. The attempt of Satan was to wreck Jesus' work at the very beginning. It was a long period of 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, a hostile and destitute place, where nothing else was to distract Jesus. His companions were wild animals, very common in the wilderness in those days. On the other hand, the Father did assist his Son, sending angels to attend him. Jesus emerges from his time of testing perfectly, without succumbing to temptation in any way. He thus achieves something greater than all those tempted before him, and foreshadows the climax of the gospel, namely his crucifixion. There, he will undergo greater temptations, but will rise victorious over the grave. Jesus' successful struggle against temptation prefigures his final victory at the cross over our evil foe. From the days of Adam and Eve, we have continuously fallen into Satan's traps. Jesus, after uniting himself with fallen humans through baptism, won a preliminary victory over the evil foe's temptations. At the cross, Jesus gained an even more wonderful victory for us. His resurrection proves that Satan cannot prevail. In our temptations, we have got the promises of God's word. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death Jesus Christ might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. In our baptism, we have been joined to Christ, and with him we are winners. In our temptations, we have got the promises of God's word. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death Jesus Christ might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. In our baptism, we have been joined to Christ, and with him we are winners. Thank you for joining us in this first episode of the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Please join us again next time.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.